Hi everyone, welcome to another edition of the Startup Operator Roundup. We're going to be discussing the news and views from the week that was. It's been an interesting week. We had another unicorn, Games 24/7. And of course, EVs seem to be catching fire all across the country. That's a developing story. And then we had the Competition Council of India conclude its probe on Google Pay, right, and its practices. So yeah, with me to discuss all of the news and events, I have Gunjan here, who's going to be reading out some of the headlines from the week that was. Hey Gunjan, what's up?
Hey Roshan, Bangalore weather just seems to be getting hotter, right?
Yeah, and in case you guys didn't notice, we just switched our opening monologues.
So Roshan, it has really been an interesting week. We have another Indian origin person who took over the CEO of FedEx. That's Raj Subramaniam. And also, crypto being a hot topic, 11 crypto trading exchanges have been fined for evading GST dues.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So March, we had the highest GST collections, 1.43 lakh crore, right? And I think the penalties and whatnot amount to about 100 crore, right? There were multiple statements that from the founders itself that, you know, they haven't really tried to evade taxes. Of course, I mean, they pay a bunch of crores every month in taxes. It's probably an ambiguous reading of some business transaction. That is what I read. And yeah, Raj Subramaniam becoming the CEO of FedEx is amazing. FedEx is a legendary company, almost 50 years old, transformed, logistics and transportation, really. He's taking over from Fred Smith, who we had discussed earlier in, you know, many roundups ago, seriously an industry legend. Another vote for Indian CEOs, you know. I mean, we have, what is it? Microsoft, Google, Twitter, Adobe, of course. And now MasterCard. FedEx as well. Yeah, MasterCard as well. So yeah, fantastic.
With the soaring temperatures, I don't know whether that's the reason for the EVs catching fire, but there were at least four such incidences in the past week itself. Scooters across Pune, Vellore, Tiruchupalli and Chennai have caught fire, right? And these are from brands like Ola, Okinawa and Pure EV. Now, Ather Energy has passed a statement that one of the primary reasons for this could be the battery design itself. They have been using NCM batteries, which is nickel, cobalt and magnesium, which is like not very suited for the Indian road condition as well as the weather. They tend to operate very well in colder climates. So what is this? I mean, like, we have been seeing the government pushing for EV adoption, you know, productions have been ramping up, but this is a major setback, right?
It is a bit of a setback and it's brand agnostic, right? I mean, we had Okinawa scooter catch fire as well, and then of course we had Ola in a couple of places. Vivekanand, who is the founder of Bounce, had an interesting thread out on Twitter where he spoke about some of the nuances, but essentially I think, you know, the thermal conditions, the battery charging, etc., has to be adjusted for the Indian climate as well, because majority of these bikes seem to be, you know, more accustomed to the European colder weathers as such, right? And there are all sorts of restrictions in terms of, like, don't park them directly and in direct sunlight and so on. I guess these bugs will have to be ironed out, you know. I mean, it's going to take some time. And meanwhile, you know, we discussed this last time as well, that I really hope the manufacturers pay attention to quality, right? Because it can hinder adoption, and there are plenty of people who are waiting and watching, like myself, who want to pick up EVs, but, you know, want to make sure that, you know, all of these bugs are ironed out. Nothing that can't be solved, right? And I would just attribute it to, you know, starting trouble, I suppose.
Right. But if you look at it, I mean, last round we spoke about how even Tata Nano faced a very similar issue, right? Not due to EV, but some other design defect. But if you look at China, right? China, when they were transitioning to EV, they had reported some 300,000 incidences of, you know, vehicles catching fire.
Yeah. Right, no, now, it's a new technology. And also, I mean, somewhere that rapid charge also, right? People are attributing that also. That could be one of those reasons as well. It's going to have performance issues, right? See, combustion engines have existed for so many decades, right? I mean, you can't expect the same level of quality from EVs, which are a new technology, right? That's just a matter of fact. I mean, it's rapidly gaining in terms of innovation and stuff. So we'll have to give it time, I suppose.
You know, while I was reading about this, one alternate was, you know, shifting to lithium iron phosphate batteries, or LFP. But from a manufacturer's standpoint of view, this would increase the cost of production by 10 to 12%.
Yeah. No, it's a hard ask, right? I mean, and we're only talking about two-wheelers right now. And if you look at, you know, four-wheeler segment, you know, there aren't too many EVs under 10 lakhs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maruti is supposedly investing, I don't know, some 10,000 crores or something more than that, in fact, to bring out an EV in the under 10 lakh segment. It's going to be challenging for sure, right? Because the cost of batteries is going to be high, right? And plus all the charging infrastructure and everything. And then bringing it within the price range and also getting it to like perform in Indian conditions is going to be challenging, yeah.
And this is, I'm sure, where the FAME subsidies would really...
Absolutely, from a consumer perspective, helpful. Yeah.
Right. So also in the opening comments, you mentioned about the Competition Council of India coming to a verdict on Google Play's billing guidelines, right? In last year, in the Roundups, we described, even some of the guests we have had on the podcast spoke about how they find Google's billing system really aggressive. And to that extent, the Competition Commission of India recently released its verdict that Google's billing system is very unfair and discriminatory. Now, when all these backlashes started coming last year, Google by themselves slashed fees from 30% to 15% for subscription-based apps. Now, and this is not only in India, but Google has been coming under a lot of heat in other countries as well. For example, if you look at South Korea or even Australia for that matter. So how do you think this is? We know that India is a large market for Google, and now the government interfering, you know, into its billing and into its business plans. I'm sure this will have some second order effects.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, see, Google and in fact, big tech is inherently monopolistic, right? That is just the nature of their business itself. I think what the Competition Council of India investigated was the fact that, you know, Google mandated their own payment services to be used for all apps, right? For all in-app purchases and everything. And they would also initially come up with a 30% cut, which was crazy, right? I mean, obviously there were a lot of protests and everything. They reduced it to 15%. And yeah, I mean, it's just that kind of dominant, you know, like the big dog behavior, right? I mean, it's almost like asking for hafta from people, right? And India, even though has been a large enough market, Google has always given a stepmotherly treatment, right? We've had plenty of people talk about this. We've had the founders of Kuku app, Awaz, and so on, like, and they talked about how their apps were like just randomly like struck out of the Play Store, and they had to like, you know, jump through hoops fighting for like to get their app back, right? Yeah, so obviously, I mean, this is going to have far-reaching consequences for sure, right? It's not going to end here because, as I mentioned, it's inherently monopolistic. There'll be other things that will be investigated as well, like for example, the algorithm, for example, right? How do you rank apps? How do you rank searches, so on and so forth? I mean, there's just like an endless number of things that one can look into, you know?
So this is not the first time that the government has actually been interfering into the practices of tech companies, right? And now as India is getting online, I'm sure more such cases will come up in the future.
Oh, for sure. I mean, so we've seen the, you know, congressional hearings in the US as well, right? I mean, where Facebook has been pulled up, Google has been pulled up, so many of them. See, the fact is that everyone realizes that tech is too big to ignore right now and is wielding like an inordinate amount of power, right? And if you look at what's happened over the last couple of years, some of them are even acting like supranational entities, right? Making decisions on the behalf of people and so on, right? It's sort of unelected power, almost tyrannical to an extent, right? So obviously they will butt heads with the government, and not just Indian government, I mean governments across the world, right? So this is going to happen. I only feel that probably the end game will be like, you know, some kind of breaking up of these large players, but it shouldn't, hopefully it doesn't come to that. And hopefully, you know, Google and the likes are more proactive in terms of regulation and in terms of sort of self-policing their own behavior, right? But personally, I feel like given how large India is and it's going to be, right? I mean, we're talking about like, I don't know, 900 million internet users by 2025. It is a huge, huge, huge user base, market. Right? We deserve the respect of at least having good enough support and relationship management in India, right? I mean, I've had instances where I've had to write to Google and then hear back in 2 days, and then, you know, it's a very blunt reply. There's no redressal and so on, right? I really hope that improves, because much as we talk about data and privacy and everything, and definitely that is one very key angle with all of these big tech, it also remains to be seen how they manage the customers, right? I mean, it's atrocious. It's really, really atrocious. I mean, if anyone runs paid campaigns on Google, YouTube, etc., or even Facebook for that matter, you kind of understand that it's such an opaque system, right? I mean, your ad can get banned. I mean, cost per mile can vary and so on and so forth, right? So yeah, I mean, I think, as I said, I mean, it's going to have some far-reaching consequences, probably will set a precedent. And yeah, I mean, it'll unravel in so many different ways, I feel.
Even edtech companies, right? These guys also like came under a lot of backlash amid their sales and marketing practices. And, you know, you mentioned was self-policing. These folks formed a consortium, you know, there's an academy, Byju's, and all the other big tech players. They decided that, hey, while the government is, you know, framing the regulations, let us also like self-police ourselves. So that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, for sure.
And talking about edtech platforms, Byju's has been officially selected as the sponsor for FIFA 2020. Now that's huge, right?
An Indian.
I mean, as much as I would love, you know, the Indian football team to actually reach the stages of FIFA, at least we have the first edtech company is from India, right? Who is the sponsor? And with this, Byju's can access the FIFA World Cup marks, emblems, asset, and run promotions, of course. And this also makes sense from a marketing standpoint, right? They have been aggressively expanding abroad. And today they have a presence in 120 countries. So it's a great platform to like, you know, expand further.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And, you know, I mean, we've been speaking about this almost for a year and a half now that, you know, Indian EdTech will be the first few, you know, decacons or centacons of the startup ecosystem, right? I mean, the fact that, you know, that we have a large enough domestic market kind of hides the fact, but they can very well globalize, internationalize. And we've seen, you know, Byju's make a couple of acquisitions also, right, in the US. And really, you know, I mean, Indian teachers are one of the best in the world. So obviously, I mean, this is going to be pretty interesting, their expansion into the Middle East and so on. Yeah.
Right. So talking about the expansion in Middle East, Byju's have also signed an agreement with Qatar Investment Authority to set up a wholly owned subsidiary in Doha itself. Mm. Now, with this center, they'll be offering more personalized and innovative learning models. And interestingly, QIA is also an investor in Byju's. They invested close to $150 million in 2019.
Yeah. So I think that's the sovereign wealth fund of Qatar, basically. And they invest in various asset classes across the world. So it definitely makes sense, right? I mean, Middle East, especially, we have a lot of our expats anyway, Indian expats anyway, right? So it does make a lot of sense to expand there. And Indian teachers, as I mentioned, are some of the best in the world. So, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll get back to more EdTech news in this roundup. But before that, let's talk about Lambda Test. They raised the Series C financing round last week, which was of $45 million. And investors such as Sequoia Capital India, Telstra Ventures, Bloom Ventures, Leo Capital, as well as Sandeep Jory, who is the former CEO of software testing firm Tricentis, participated in the round. With this, the startup's all-time funding goes to $70 million. Now, in one of the interviews with the founders, you were saying Lambda Test wants to become the AWS for browser testing.
Yeah.
Let's hear more about that.
So that's a great analogy, right? Because AWS made cloud computing scalable, right? I mean, it made it accessible to literally anyone, right? I mean, especially startups. And look, testing is extremely, extremely difficult, right? It's very compute intensive. And inherently, you know, there are so many of these screens and devices and browsers and whatnot, right? So if you're going to test your application across all of these different permutations and combinations, as a startup, I mean, it's really, really difficult, right? So what Lambda Test does is basically it scales this, you know, in such a way that, you know, startups can access quality testing infrastructure, right? So yeah, it's a great business. We've spoken about it earlier as well. And they're kind of similar to BrowserStack as well, right? Competitors, I suppose. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, if you like Google for Lambda Test, right? The first sponsor ad in Google is from BrowserStack.
Of course.
But, you know, they have built an amazing ecosystem where, you know, developers can run all types of tests. And especially, you know, India being like an engineering hub, this actually saves like hours and hours of time and resources.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of amazing developer tools are going to come out of India, right? I mean, we've had Postman, Hasura, BrowserStack, now, you know, Lambda Test and so on. Because as I mentioned, you know, we have such a huge base of developer talent in the country. And it's only natural that we'll build for ourselves and then, you know, export it to the world.
On space tech front, Pixel recently launched its first satellite with SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket. The satellite is called Shakuntala, and this will help in curating data sets that will enable Pixel to monitor and predict global occurrences in real time. It's also the highest resolution hyperspectral commercial camera ever flown into space. And, you know, this just comes days after they raised $25 million in funding. And this was led by Canada-based Radical Ventures. Now, this has obviously gone well. And with this, commercialization actually opens up for Pixel, and I think they are planning to go full scale as close as January 2023.
Yeah, no, they plan to have some 30 satellites up, you know, by 2023 or something.
They want to create like a sun synchronous satellite constellation at an altitude of 550 kilometers above sea level.
Yeah, so it's a pretty interesting story. I was listening to Awais Ahmed, who is the, you know, founder and CEO of Pixel, talk about their plan and vision on the Indian Dream podcast. It was a pretty nice podcast, by the way. I mean, do check it out. They do some fantastic work. And he was talking about how he got started and what their plan is. And it just, I mean, it just triggered so many emotions in me, right? Because I think we're finally at a point where all of these dreams are realizable. And I think more and more Indians will, you know, participate in space tech, I would say. Look, the cost for space tech has come down like drastically, right? I mean, it used to take about $20,000 per kilo to be, you know, sent to space. Right now, it's, I think, around $5,000. And, you know, props to the billionaires of the world, right? Props to Elon Musk, props to Richard Branson, props to Jeff Bezos, who have been working on this private space ventures, right? All of their ventures that we've been able to get to this point, you know? So primarily, the satellites up there can do two things, right? One, basically two types. One is imaging and one is communication. Communication would be your Starlinks of the world and, you know, to enable internet and so on. But what Pixels does is it's basically imaging, right? So spectroscopy, high definition images, and these have tons of use cases, right? I mean, whether it's on the agriculture side or whether it's like farming, etc. And the commercial viability of it is actually pretty remarkable, you know, because according to their own projections, I mean, they feel that they'll be able to make the cost of it in a year. And then after that, everything pretty much adds to the top line, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I feel like more such, you know, innovation will happen, you know. What we've discussed, Indus, Agnikul, you know, who else? Skyroot, and so on, right? And the important thing is that over the last 3 years, I think there's been a lot more policy clarity, you know. With the government coming up and, you know, saying that ISRO can step in and help these startups because these folks have as well have used some of the launch and testing capabilities at ISRO. And that really reduces not just the cost and infrastructure as such, but also the time it takes, right, for iterations. So that has been super helpful. And I really feel that we see more, you know, such startups.
Yeah, it's not only about the cost, right? Even if you look at the whole R&D aspect of it, I mean, ISRO has opened up its lab to private space. Mm. We had discussed this earlier.
Yeah.
Even in this year's union budget, it was announced that certain percentage of the defense research will come from startups.
Yeah.
Right. And on that front, the Shakuntala satellite, right? Now, NASA had set guidelines for any imaging satellites. The resolution between two pixels needs to be around 30 meters, right? What Shakuntala has achieved, it has reduced from 30 meters between two pixels to 10 meters. That's a 3x improvement. And not only that, for Pixel themselves, Pixel's team was one of the few finalists who were part of, you know, Elon Musk Hyperloop competition.
Yeah.
And now they're using SpaceX to launch their very own satellite.
Yeah. So I would definitely encourage you guys to go and check out that podcast with the Indian Dream, where Awais talks about meeting Elon Musk and then coming back and deciding that he's going to build in space and then reading up everything about, you know, what they have to do and then cold emailing, cold reaching out to a lot of strangers and finding support from different quarters, right? It's a pretty inspirational story, I would say, right? We should try to get him on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay, so Anuvik, another unicorn. As you mentioned, this is the latest unicorn is Games24/7. They raised a $75 million round, which was led by Malabar Investment. It entered the unicorn club with a valuation of $2.5 billion.
Wow.
Right? And of course, existing investors like Tiger Global and Rain Group participated. And in the similar space, Dream 11 and Mobile Premier League are also unicorns in the online gaming sector. So Games24/7, they're already profitable, having reported a profit of 110 crore in the last financial year. And now they're valued at $2.5 billion. That must mean something.
Wow, that's an insane multiple on the valuation, right? But yeah, I mean, look, gaming, we've spoken plenty on the podcast earlier. It is huge already, and it's going to be extremely huge, right? I mean, with 900 million internet users by 2025, and with the highest data consumption per capita, right, at the lowest cost. So all of this makes it, very, very lucrative as a market. I think Games 24/7 has a few interesting games, right? Rummy Circle
Rummy Circle,
is one of the more popular ones, which Hrithik Roshan endorses, I think. And then they have another game with Ranbir Kapoor as one of the evangelists. So they're also partnered with Hotstar and the IPL as well. I think they're sponsors of Lucknow Super Giants, I think. Yeah, probably that as well, right? So they were late into the fantasy sport segment. But yeah, I mean, they've kind of made huge strides in that. I think they're the number two player in that segment, I think, right? One of the things that we have to watch out for is also the policy level clarity, right? Because I mean, you had various state governments pull up, the likes of Dream 11 and so on for the whole betting angle on these games. Now, that is something that I think needs to be clarified at the central level. That will be helpful. But yeah, otherwise, it's a huge, huge market.
Yep. So other headlines from the week included the fundraiser by Farmart, who raised $32 million from General Catalyst, Matrix Partners India, and Omidyar Network India. This is aimed to fuel the growth of Farmart's digital distribution network across India and to export it into other markets. ClassPlus, which is another edtech company, they raised $70 million in its Series D round, which was led by Tiger Global and AlphaWave Global, at a valuation of nearly $600 million. Abu Dhabi-based Chimera Ventures has come in as a new investor, while existing investors RTP Global has doubled down on the platform. This platform allows educators and content creators to build their online presence, digitize their offline tuition centers, and sell their courses online. Now, this is truly the definition of, democratizing education for all.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like edtech infrastructure for everyone,
Correct,
basically,
yes.
right? So any teacher can sort of set up their class. And so yeah, ClassPlus is a pretty interesting business, I mean, they're providing all of this edtech and learning infrastructure to individual teachers. And look, this decade, I think teachers are going to really kill it, right? I mean, if you're absolutely amazing, then instead of being limited by a classroom of, 30, 40, or 50 people in your neighborhood, the world is your oyster, right? I mean, you could have literally thousands of people tune into your classes, and you could make a lot more money. I mean, we had cases of this Korean billionaire teachers, right? I mean, you will start seeing Indian billionaire teachers as well this decade for sure. And stuff like ClassPlus is really enabling these folks to eke out a good livelihood, right? I mean, because I think teachers are perhaps the most important profession from a societal perspective, and I'm really happy that a lot of wealth creation is going to happen on that front. Yeah, and shout out to Alec of Farmart. I mean, he's been building a fantastic business. Of course, we spoke to him way back when, I think 2020, on AgriTech and so on. Do check out that episode as well. So yeah, congrats to the team.
Also, Chalo, which is a Mumbai-based mobility startup that deals with bus ticketing, they recently acquired Vogo Automotive, which is a shared mobility startup. Now, Vogo will augment Chalo's technology service by powering the first and last mile rides at major bus stops and other public places. So now, our customers will be able to book bus tickets from the Chalo mobile app. And then to reach the final destination from the bus stop, Vogo will be partnering. Although both will be operating within their own brand
Pretty
names.
interesting. Yeah, I see a lot of Vogo bikes around, of course, right? I mean, and last mile mobility in India is such a huge challenge, actually. And more and more innovation on that front, especially through partnerships like this, will really, really help. Yeah.
Also, Vembu's Wisdom is back with this roundup. Recently posted a tweet saying that how most of us in business are trend following in the sense that we implicitly project the immediate past forward. So, for example, if we grew 30% for the past 2 years, we project 30% growth forward. We're usually right, except for when you're not. And we will definitely link the thread in the description below. But Roshan, he goes on to mention some really interesting points.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm glad that he's back to tweeting pretty regularly. So, which is why we've revived our Vembu's Wisdom segment that we used to earlier have. So, in the thread, he talks about adoption of newer technologies and so on, right? And to that end, there's this book called Crossing the Chasm by Geoffrey Moore, right, which talks about early adopters, laggards, and so on. And that's a pretty interesting, even if you don't read the book, I mean, that's a pretty interesting graph that, you know, you can look at that tells you about technology adoption. So yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And also very interesting, like it's mentioned in the thread itself, that what he does with his team is that they have this thought exercises where they assume that the largest source of revenue just disappears overnight, right? What is the backup that his team can fall back on? And this is exactly what he's trying to talk in this tweet, like how you cannot, you know, extrapolate the past occurrences into the future and assume things will just happen, right?
Yeah.
So very interesting conversations coming up this week. One is with Kyle Fernandez, who is the founder and CEO of MemeChat, and Sunit Reddy, who is the founder and CEO of BeForest. Roshan, you've already spoken with Kyle, I think, and you shared some really interesting images in our group. But tell us what you're excited to talk about with Sunit.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys must have seen some of the autos with the MemeChat advertisement, right? I mean, pretty scandalous ones. Kyle was a lot of fun to talk to. I mean, he's probably 23, 24. He started building out a community, a meme group, or some page on Facebook when he was 16. Right, grew to about 5 or 6 million followers, and MemeChat is fantastic, right? I mean, I think they're at 1 million plus active users, and it was a very, very interesting conversation on how to build a consumer app, right? He's definitely got some wacky ideas, and it was fun. It was fun talking to a guy who's like super original and stuff, right? So the other chat is going to be with Sunit of BeForest. Very interesting space, unlike anything that you know, we have had on the podcast earlier. So I'm really looking forward to talking to him as well. So yeah, a couple of good conversations.
Yeah. And also, I think I should mention, when you asked Kyle about, hey, how do you learn about new things?
Yeah.
He just said that you just Google it. And that's what the truth is.
Yeah. In fact, I mean, I asked him to recommend some books or podcasts, and he said that, dude, I just Google stuff. So the generation difference is catching up, actually.
Right. So yeah, a lot of interesting conversations lined up for this week. And this also is the rundown of last week's biggest headlines from the Indian startup ecosystem. We hope you really enjoyed this conversation, and do check us our social media page on LinkedIn and Twitter, which is @OperatorStartup on Twitter and The Startup Operator on LinkedIn. If you check the description, you'll also find the link to our WhatsApp channel where we share regular updates of what's happening in the startup ecosystem. And yeah, with that, Roshan and I will take leave, and we'll see you again next Sunday.
See you guys. Have fun.